Morning, SP. And morning, church. And it's another wonderful Saturday. I'm coming to this morning in prayer and devotion and meditation of His Word. It's so cold outside and keep warm. And as we join together in this beautiful morning, let's join me in prayer. Father, we bless you, we honor you, Lord God. Thank you for it's another day. Thank you, Lord God, for great is thy faithfulness, and thy love is new every morning. Your grace is abounding, O Lord God, in our daily life. And as we come this day, Lord God, thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us, guiding us through all of your truth, and help us, Father God, to really understand and receive what the Spirit is saying to us today. And just teach us, O Lord God, and bless us by your word today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's another privilege again to share the word of God. And He lead us today in our prayer. Now, we also blessed because we have just finished our, and I praise God, we just finished our staff retreat. These 2.5 days, last Tuesday until last Thursday noon. And we're so blessed both physical and spiritual that God has given to all the staff that joined that day. And I think, I do believe even those who are not able to join us because of, you know, some reasons. But praise God that He is not bound to one place, that He is God that is everywhere, that His presence is everywhere. And we are so blessed that in the first night, Pastor Eric Lehman of Freedom Church shared a wonderful, you know, encouraging truth of the Word of God that night. And he shared about the rebuildings of the walls of Jerusalem and Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah. And he mentioned about gates and how the people of Israel, you know, and the walls of Jerusalem, how the people of Israel, you know, building it, how there's so many, you know, people that is against or even threatening them while they are building the walls. And he also mentioned about, you know, gates that is so also significant in the building of the walls, that they need also to restore, because there are some significant functions or use on that day, you know, on the gate that need to be rebuilt and restored. So hearing that, and said that you know, in rebuilding the gates, it needs also to be, you know, it's need a man to be assigned to be a gatekeepers, and it should be guarded with wisdom and discernment. And upon hearing that, speaking to my heart, that something that we need to do more or to learn more regarding about the gates, and what is the importance and the significance why the Lord our God put exact and instructed the people of Israel exact a number, orientation, and location of the gates of the walls of Jerusalem. Now, prior to that, prior to this staff meeting, actually, I'm praying for another series of teaching for us in EMP, because every time that I am assigned to share the devotion, we will go and study about this topic. And when I heard that Pastor Lehman, Eric Lehman, sharing about, you know, the gates, I felt in my heart that this should be the direction that we are going to, or the topic that the Lord is putting into my heart to share or to study more about the gates. So I do believe that this is the Lord's direction for us. Now, some historical backgrounds, you know, Gates is being mentioned both in the New Testament and even in Old Testament and even in the New Testament. And this Gates is specifically instructed by the Lord to set and to put during the time of building the walls of Jerusalem. Prior to have a temple or having settling in the promised land, the people of Israel is wandering in the wilderness. And since they cannot build a temple there to worship God, they have this building, this portable tabernacle, wherein every time that the Lord said, stay in one place, they are building this temporary portable tabernacle, or what they call it also, a tent of meeting. And know that all the people of Israel is comprised of the 12 tribes of Israel, or the sons of Jacob. And during every time they stop in the wilderness, the Lord our God is giving them a specific location where to camp around the tent of meeting. Now in the north gate, each orientation is comprised of three tribes. In the north gate, there are three tribes, which is the gate of Judah, which is tribe of Judah, Reuben, and Levi. And in the south area, it is the tribes of Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun. And in the east, it is a tribe of Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan. And on the west, it is a tribe of Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. And this is three gates in every orientation surrounded the tent of meeting. And this is instructed by our God in Ezekiel chapter 48, 30 to 34. And you could also see it in Numbers chapter 2. That's why when God is instructed them to build the walls of Jerusalem, is exactly the number also of the gates, which is represented the 12 tribes of Israel on the time. You know that gates represent security, protections, and safety for those inside. Gates primary means for entry, and during Old Testament, it's often site where the enemies is gathered and assembled to attack or to force the entry. It's so significant that gates it should be also fortified and also guarded during that time, because that is the first location that the enemy can enter when they are trying to, you know, to invade one cities. And that's why that's also used for different kind of, you know, of entrance and exit of the people during that time. So gates in the Old Testament is very important, and I do believe that each gate has a significant both in the spiritual meaning in Christian lives, or even in the church. That even in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned about the gates. In Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord Jesus is asking his disciples that who do you think he is, and all of a sudden, you know, Peter stood up and declared that he said in verse 16 of chapter 16 of Matthew is, you are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And after Peter mentioned that, and the Lord Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Peter, son of Simon Peter. It is not flesh and blood revealed to you that who I am, but it is the Father, and it is my Father in heaven. And immediately after that confession, church, is he mentioned about battles, and he mentioned about the gates of hell that will not prevail on it. After that confession of Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned this verse in Matthew 16:19, and he said, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades Or in other words, all the power of hell shall not prevail against it. Meaning the very declaration of Peter that Jesus is the rock, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, is the God who built his church. And in this confession, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And all the power. So God, the Lord Jesus, mentioned about the gates, which is also in the New Testament. And even in Revelation chapter 21, the Lord our God also, showed this vision to Apostle John and the coming of the New Jerusalem. And also in Revelation 21, he mentioned about the 12 gates of this New Jerusalem that is coming down from heaven. So I do believe that these gates mentioned in the Bible is so significant, whether it is in a physical as well as in spiritual life of every Christians and even in our church today. But before we go deeper on those 12 gates mentioned in the Bible, let us try to look first each Christian's individual gates, each believers that need to be guards and fortify and be good and be of good, gatekeepers in their own lives. So let's read our scripture for today in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 27. This is the wisdom of Solomon. I will be reading in the New Living Translation. Beginning verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issue of life. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established, and do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. So this is the wisdom of Solomon written in Proverbs. And we can see that here in the passage, the Bible tells us that to guard our heart. And the way it tells us to do is by guarding what we call four gates that leads to the soul. And he mentioned, the tongue gate, we should guard the tongue gate or our tongue, guarding what we say. We have to guard our ear gate, what we hear, and the eye gate, what we see, and the feet gate, where we go. Those things are led, into our heart, because ears and eyes and tongues, feet are gateways to our heart. The Bible says cities were surrounded by a wall with several gates. So likewise, the four gates Solomon's mentioned in the scriptures that we read is the gateway to the souls, and they are to let the right things in and keep the wrong things out. The things we allow with those gates, four gates, directly affect the spiritual condition of our heart. So Solomon warns us that guards your heart, our heart, or else by guarding the gates, whether or not we walk in the spirit or the flesh, swings on what we've let in those four gateways. We can either open the gates to the things that edify our spirit and enhance our being filled with the Holy Spirit, by letting it on those four gates, or we can let the things that grieve the spirit and hinder our ability to walk in the Spirit. The Bible instructs us to make it our aim not to grieve the Spirit. And you can read that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. Now, in guarding out those gates, our tongue gates, our ear gates, our eye gates, and our feet gates, you know, it will, you know, affect much on how we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our life. Whatever we let enter in and enter out on those gates will might grieve our Holy Spirit working in our life, or we may, you know, edify and enhance our spirit in being filled by the Holy Spirit. Taking charge of the four gateways is crucial to walk in the Spirit and having victory over flesh. Remember the promise in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, in NIV said, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. So let's look for these four gateways and see what the Bible says about them. Quickly. First is we need to guard our eye gate. You need to guard our eyes. In verse 25 says, it says, look straight and fix your eyes, our eyes, on what lies before us or before you. In other words, straight gaze prevents a wandering eye. Over and over, the Bible talks about the importance of our focus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 said, looking away from all that will distract us, meaning focusing our eyes on Jesus. Even say, fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, one of the best examples is that when Jesus called Peter, and during the storm, you know, to walk on water, he fixed his eyes on Jesus and he continued walking on water. But the moment he turned away his eyes and looking on the storm, he began to sink. And this is the best example that we should guard our eyes where to, you know, to focus it. That encouraged and being said in Hebrew that we should not focus our eyes that can distract our faith. And, you know, living here in these worlds, there are so many things that can tempt us to look and distract us, our focus. But, you know, Jesus said that in Matthew 6:20-23, that your eyes is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eyes is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eyes is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. So without a doubt, the Lord is telling us that guard the eye gate is key to walking in the Spirit with our soul is filled with light. The first thing, the gate that we need to guard is our eye gate. Now, the second gate that we need to guard in our life that affects our heart is the tongue gate or our tongue. Proverbs 4, verse 24 said that avoid all perverse talk. The more we take charge of our tongue, the more we will enjoy the presence of the Spirit of God. Because in Proverbs 18:21 said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's so important, church, that this tongue, that's why if you could only notice that this tongue is being guarded doubly. You know, God created the tongue that is guarded by our teeth and also guarded with our lips. So it is truly that so important that our tongue be guarded. People are going to give account to God for every word they spoke in a thoughtless, flippant, reckless manner. Jesus also thought that words can pollute the soul. In Matthew 15:18 said, "But the words you speak come from the heart, that what defiles you." This is the verse that, it is not what we eat that defiles us, but it is the word that comes out in our mouth, because it came from our heart. The Lord is saying that if we don't guard the mouth gate, our words can literally pour spiritual mud unto our soul. This is what the Lord Jesus said. If we speak defiling, critical, abusive, and profane words, how can we walk in the Spirit? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, said, "Do not let unwholesome or foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be blessing to those who hear." This is the Apostle Paul's encouragement or admonition to the church. Don't use profane profanity or gossip or make crude sexual joke or abuse others with your words, but say things that will lift people's spirit in edification. Now notice how Apostle Paul commands us to continuously filled with the Spirit, and he immediately focuses on the words we speak in Ephesians 5:18 20. He said, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said we should be filled by the Spirit. We should be filled with the Spirit by speaking the Word of God to one another, singing the Word of God to one another, thanksgiving God always. Controlling our tongue is pivotal to walking in the Spirit. Now, the third gate we need to know and we need to guard is our ears, or the ear gate. What we are listening to. In verse 24, B said, "Stay away from corrupt speech. This is talk that we are avoid like a plague." Now, there's a talk that we are to avoid like a plague. We turn away from it. It grieves the Spirit of God. God gave us eyelids, but He did not give us ear lids. So it's up to us to walk away from things we shouldn't listen to, lest we quench the Holy Spirit. If it is dirty, the words, then walk away. If it is gossip, walk away. If it's profanity, walk away. If it is blasphemous, walk away. If you sense a spirit grieving you, walk away. Do not let your ear listen to those things that will affect your body or your heart and soul. And finally, the fourth gate that we need to guard in our life is the feet gate. In verse 26 to 27 in the same chapter of Proverbs chapter 4 said, "Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil." Now, it's open. Think that Abraham's nephew Lot, when reading this verse, because Lot mess up with all the gates, especially this last one, the feet gate. In Genesis recorded the day came when Lot and Abraham has need to be part ways, and gracious Abraham told him to go wherever he liked, And he, Abraham, would take the leftover. So whatever Abraham, Lot chooses, Abraham will go in the other direction. So Lot chose the direction going to Sodom. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 10, verse 10, 12, 10 and 12, Lot saw the lush green pasture surrounding the Sodom and pitched his tent facing Sodom. So even though the Bible informs us the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord, Lot exposed his eyes daily to the place by turning his tent toward it. Then he decided to move into Sodom and build his house in Sodom and raise his family in Sodom. So what was the result? In 2 Peter 2, 7, 8, 9, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 said, Lot, a righteous man, was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for the righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deed that he saw and heard. You know, what he saw at the eye gate and the ear gates that, you know, affected him so much. Look at the three gates mentioned in this verse. He walked, he saw, and he heard. He allowed his gates to be openly affected of those wicked people living in Sodom, hearing every day, living with them, walking with them, and allowing his eyes to witness those wicked things. The sad thing is he never had experienced any of this had he controlled his gates or the gates. Now, we can walk in the Spirit if we are hanging around. We can't walk in the Spirit if we keep on hanging around those den of iniquity. There are certain places that Christian has no business going lest he grieve the Spirit and open the gates to the flesh. The best question to ask ourselves if we're going in a certain place is, can I take Jesus with me with a clear conscience? Because the truth is, we take Jesus with us everywhere we go. He lives within every believer, though the Holy Spirit whose temple we are. Now God knows and understands that it's not possible in the simple world to always avoid situation and places that grieve you. But you can choose to not intentionally hang there. But you have the choice whether to hear it, open your ears to hear it, and you focus your eyes to see it, you know, and by seeing it and hearing it, you have the choice to utter the words following what you have heard and see, and allowing your feet to linger on those places. Church, we know that those things, that evil things, that if our gates is openly wide, we are letting in those things, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to encourage us today by saying this with me. If I guard my eye gate, ear gate, and tongue gate, and foot gate, I will greatly strengthen my walk in the Spirit. Amen. This is just the introduction of studying the significant gates of our life. And I do believe there's so much more learned on these gates and even the significance of these gates, not only in our individual Christian life, but even to our church as well. So next to this is, God willing, we're going to start studying each gate of the walls that God has instructed the people of Israel to build it surrounding the city of Jerusalem. And we'll try to look You know, the prophetic significance today and even in the future. So let's worship and let's come to the presence of the Lord. And as we have understood, we should guard our tongue gate, our ear gate, our eyes gate, and our feet gate, so that you will continue to live and strengthen spiritually to the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's worship. Let's pray our heart to worship before the Lord. Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. You alone are holy. And as I pray, God, you say your word that you are holy. That we should be holy as well. We cannot do it, Lord, in our own self and strength. We need you, God. We need your Holy Spirit. Guidance, leading us, sanctifying us by the blood of Jesus. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for your righteousness in us. In Jesus' name. So let's go to our prayer item for today. Pray for all and lifts up all those who are having cancer. Pray for the Lord our God for miracles, healing. Pray for His mighty touch to come upon them. Let the hope, living hope in Christ Jesus, be in their heart, the spirit and soul today. Let us lift them up. God that hears their prayer and their cry. Thank you, God, for meeting them where they are. Thank you, Father God, for touching the various diseases, Lord, that cancer, Lord God, to just remove and clear and clean every cells in their body. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's also lift up those in the community that's having illnesses and also need a word of salvation. Let's lift up that God can use even the circumstances that they have, that they will not only receive physical healing but also will receive salvation in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Also lift up those having infirmities, praying of God for the mighty hands of the Lord to be upon them. Next slide, please. Next slide, yeah. Also lift up all those who are having infirmities, oh God, in their body. Pray, Father God, for your mighty touch. Pray for your the promise of your word, God, that by your strife we were healed, Lord, in every kind of infirmities in their body. Thank you, God, for your mighty healing balm, Lord God. And just, Lord God, miracles will come, complete healing and restoration, oh God, in our body. So also pray for those who are frontliners in the medical staff, and even those who are, you know, contracting, Lord, COVID infection, and also giving thanks for those answered prayer that God already healed. Pray for also for the frontline medical workers as pray. Let's also lift up our mission focus for today. Pray for those in the family community looking for jobs. Pray for God's provision, favor. God will open works for them. Pray for provision also. Also pray slightly. Pray for our mission focus today. Pray for Cambodia, Oasis House, Pastor Genio. Pray for God's opening, opportunity of ministry in North Korea. Pray for, God will lead us in a mission partnership in Asia. And also pray for persecuted churches all over the world. Let's pray for God's divine touch, courage, and strength on them. Let's pray. Also lift up this weekend gathering today, Sunday service, test, the well, SP kids, worship, hospitality, SP youth spin, spill activities, classes and outreaches in all meetings. Pray God that will, His presence be in every meeting, that His very purpose and plans carry out. Pray for the mighty moving of the Holy Spirit in all those meetings. Let's pray. Also lift up those pregnant women in our community, praising God that he now already gave birth to a wonderful child. And yeah, praise God. And also lift up those others that are pregnant in our community in spring. Also lift up those house churches that we're meeting tonight. Pray for God's presence. Pray for Christ-centered fellowship. Pray for your joy, covering protections. Pray for Bowen, Hollywood, Mawan, and Southside. Although we are on the house church break this season, but let's continue to pray for them that God will even minister to them and giving the opportunity to in a way to continue to have fellowship with one another. So let's pray. Yes, Father, we thank you, Lord God. And also lift up, Lord God, Bisham and his family, Bikani and his family, Lord God. Thank you for your troubling mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for giving, using them, Lord God, in your, whatever your purpose and plans, oh Lord God, with the family, Lord God. Thank you for your covering and protection, whatever activity they have. Thank you, Lord God, for your joy and peace, Lord God, as they, Lord God, visit their friends and relatives, oh Lord God, even Lord God, the church, oh Lord God. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding them. Just thank you also, Lord God, for this day. Thank you for your word, Lord God, at reminding us that every believers should watch and guard that every gates, oh Lord God, that, you know, and directly, Lord, connected to our heart, Solomon's, Lord God, wisdom, Lord God, written for us to understand and to follow and receive through the power of your Holy Spirit. So thank you, Father. We bless you. We honor you as we continue, Lord God, to look on each, oh Lord God, gates, the significant, Lord God, the prophetic significant today and the future. We pray for the Holy Spirit guidance and wisdom, Lord. So bless each one, Lord God. Oh, bless you. We honor you. Oh God, I give you glory and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless church and enjoy the rest of your prayer. Thank you for joining and see you again next Tuesday.